Well, good morning. I trust everybody's all ready to go for tomorrow's events. You know, it's interesting. I saw people have been commenting. He said, you know, it's too bad people don't prepare for the Lord's coming like they're preparing for the solar eclipse. But then again, you think, well, the world, this is an event that the world looks toward. We look toward it and say, one more bit of God's handiwork. Amen. He has control of all things. You know, just by chance, it just happens to flow in front of the other
right.
one.
Right.
There's a rhythm in it. There definitely is a rhythm. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We'll get into our next lesson. And this one, well, all of them have been interesting. But, you know, as you think about, we're going to talk about spiritual gifts. And I kind of think back what the Apostle Paul must have been thinking as he had to write this. You know, all these different gifts and people and how they're presenting them. It kind of led me back to like a Renaissance fair, all these people doing all these really weird things. You know, the fire breathers and the people that are doing incantations and stuff. People were doing all this stuff for themselves and not for the Lord. So we'll start out, and I want to read first couple of verses because it kind of sets us off, and we're going to be looking on, you know, are you gifted? Is how this lesson is going to be set. It says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. Wherefore I give to you understand that no man speaketh by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Let's pray. Father, we do again thank you that we can come into your house, look into your word. We can see what you would have us to use in our lives, to understand a bit more of what your will is for each one of our lives. Father, I thank you for this lesson where we'll look at spiritual gifts, realizing that each and every one of us has at least one if we know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Father, we know that you want the most for us in our lives. You only want us to glorify you. You don't demand it, but Father, you encourage it. You show us in your word that many people are gifted naturally and through the Spirit. And Father, we thank you that for those that do exercise those gifts that glorify you. And Father, we pray that as these gifts are given to us, that we understand them, Father, that we not be selfish with them, but that we glorify you. We benefit others as a result, as the apostles did, and as many of the other saints did throughout the New Testament. And we see them throughout today, people using their gifts and talents to glorify you, to help their fellow Christians. And Father, we thank you for all of this, and we ask it in your Son's precious name. Amen. Like I said, I can only imagine the poor Apostle Paul as he's penning all this stuff down. He's like, okay, one question after another. What's next? And he's addressing what's appearing to be a misuse of spiritual gifts that people are given. And, you know, like I mentioned, you know, I can only envision what the people in Corinth are seeing when before they were having all the, you know, people that were partaking in the idols, eating food with the idols, going into the temples and eating there, having divisions. You know, well, I like this teacher better than that teacher, and I'm of this teaching and I'm of that teaching. We never see that today, do we? But one thing that he's addressing here is that these people are being very selfish about the gifts that they have. And we're going to list them today and kind of kind of what the scope of these are, because the list that the Apostle Paul presents in 1 Corinthians 12 is not an exhaustive list. In fact, I did a little search, and you know, one guy put together a really nice, you know, table of gifts, you know, like administration, apostleship, craftsmanship, you know, creative communication, discernment, encouragement, evangelism, faith, giving, helps, hospitality, intercession, knowledge, leadership, mercy, prophecy, shepherding, teaching, and wisdom. And this list is by no means exhaustive. And you're going through there, and you can go into subcategories of every one of those. But the Apostle Paul is kind of laying out the ministry of these gifts, and he's giving them, again, just like he's with the rest of the Corinthians, giving them some guidelines. And you know, we learned as a child that when we get a gift, we're supposed to be thankful for it. You know, it's like, you know, Christmas time, watching the kids tearing open the gifts, and they all look and see the one that Aunt whoever made, The Christmas Story, you know, the bunny suit, the poor, you know. Be thankful for the gift. Make sure you wear it when Aunt whatever's around. But to be thankful for them, you know, and a lot of people, you send them a card, they're never thankful. Some people are thankful, even think about it, they send you a card, you know, in thanks for things. I remember my mother telling me, you need to write thank you cards to these people. You know, people don't do that today. Very seldom. You know, they might say thank you. But, you know, really, you know, it's rude, really, when you think about it. It's rude to not thank the giver for the gift. And the same guys, to be thankful for it, whether or not you use the gift. You know, how many of us are guilty of regifting a gift? Sometimes those regiftings are like, oh, man, that's exactly what I'm looking for. Some people just have that knack. But here, so when you think about gifts, you know, who is the gift for? And what do we do with that gift when we get it? Now, for the giver, the gift is, you know, it's a pleasure to give the gift. You know, more blessed to give than to receive. But oftentimes, the gift benefits the receiver when they know they can apply it in their lives. And the use of the gift could either be personable type gift, or it could be one that can benefit others. But it's also benefits the giver, the joy in giving something. There are people that, you know, they're just overly benevolent. And, you know, you've seen, what was the show when I was growing up? Some of you might remember it. You know, the millionaire. You know, John Beresford Tipton gave away $1 million. You had certain stipulations in order to get that. And this real proper man came to the door, knocked on it, and says, "You've been chosen. Here's this." And you're like, well, what's this all about? And the whole series was built around how this person either used it wisely or, you know, they were corrupt with it. And it was very interesting. But it gave pleasure to the giver. And then the giver seeing that gift being used. And I can only imagine what the Lord's thinking when somebody comes to know Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, and he uses somebody's natural talents in a spiritual way. And the blessing he sees when that person uses it properly to help others. You know, I mean, you can go through the Bible and you can pull out probably gift after gift that people have. You know, you think of, in the Old Testament, the miracles that went on. You know, I think I mentioned miracles on here, but that's one of the ones Paul talks about. And people, when they're addressing spiritual gifts, here in Church Corinth, they were selfishly using those gifts. They were using it, hey, look what I got. Look what I can do. You know, I can just imagine, you know, all the menagerie of things that were going on as a result of that. But what he's trying to point out is that the believer, when he receives those gifts and when they're evident to him, is to use them to glorify God and to help others. And not to be for it to be a selfish gift. You know, you think back at the fable, King Midas, you know, keeping all that gold for himself, or others. But that's the sad part of what oftentimes God allows. And so far we've seen, as we look at each one of these working together, they all kind of build around the same theme, is unity, helping others, and glorifying God. And Paul's been stressing this all the way through, and Pastor was nice enough to lend me a book by Warren Wiersbe in 1 Corinthians. And one of the segments he's talking about this, he says, one of the marks of an individual's maturity is a growing understanding of and an appreciation for his own body. There's a parallel in the spiritual life. As we mature in Christ, we gain a better understanding of the church, which is Christ's body. The emphasis in recent years on the body life has been a good one. It has helped to counteract the wrong emphasis on individual Christianity that can lead to isolation from the local church. And what the Apostle Paul's stressing is, all you people, you've kind of done your own thing. Yeah, you might meet during the week, but you're individuals. You're not working as a group. You're dysfunctional. And he's pointing out more and more. And as the Apostle Paul is pointing out, and the gifts, and chapter 12 we'll talk about this, but there's a whole series. Well, the scope of them in the first 10 verses, and then the source of them, and then their synergy, or how they fit together. But this list, it like I said, is not exhaustive. I mean, you can go into Ephesians, you can go into Romans, and it lists others and are complementary with this, and that might be an interesting study in and of itself, just gifts and how they're applied. But all throughout Scripture, we read of the various gifts God's bestowed. You know, you think of the prophets in the Old Testament, where the miracles, they come up, you know. Well, you know, the woman and the child that were going to die, they're going to fix their last meal, and here comes the prophet. He goes, "Hey, fix me a cake." They're like, "But that's all we have." He goes, "Well, fix me a cake anyway." You know, you think, well, that's pretty selfish of him. Well, but he was pointing out to them, they're going to have food to take care of themselves. And the one with the oil, "Hey, go all your neighbors, get all the containers you can think of, and keep filling up, and then you can sell it and move on." You know, those types of miracles, we always think of those kind of gifts. And we really never think about the gifts that are in the New Testament. Well, we do. You get in, you think of some churches that emphasize certain gifts over others. But the ones in the New Testament, we find Paul addresses, because the church is going through a change. I mean, in Acts, when we were going through there, we saw the building of the church, the foundation of it. And here we're seeing a few years after Paul went out on the missionary journeys, and churches that had a good foundational beliefs were all of a sudden letting the world creep into them, or the previous lives of some of them creeping in. Like we saw last week, where women were praying and they were prophesying in church, but some of them took on the guise of, well, I'm going to do this uncovered, or I'm going to shave my head or cut my hair. Hey, they did it over there. The priestess were that way. Why can't I be that way? And that was slowly creeping in and causing dysfunction. It wasn't bringing glory to the Lord. We still see that today. We still see churches that bring all sorts of things into the church. Some churches, historically, they go into an area, they get the people saved, they take some of the culture, they don't want to offend the people in the area, but they want to get them, so they call it saved, but they bring that pagan belief into the church. And a lot of churches, that's what we have, like the New Age movement, the Eastern mysticisms that have come into the church. Well, that really helps us, it expands our mind, and on and on and on and on. But what the Apostle Paul is trying to point out is that the gifts allow the body of Christ to function effectively in unity. Verse 7 says, "But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all." So in other words, every gift, and every one of us that knows Christ as Savior has at least one gift. Who knows what it is? But some have more. Some have the ability to look beyond that. So we are to serve each other with these gifts. And with the scope, you know, Paul's response, again, he's responding in, you know, the letters to, or the questions to the pastor, like ours does. But he's trying to answer their concerns, because some of the people in there going, well, you know, Paul, we're seeing people in this church that have got some really great talents, and they got these wonderful gifts, but they're not using it to help others. You know, and he doesn't go into specific detail about, you know, maybe somebody's doing miracles and, you know, who knows what, or others, or just using the various gifts, but he's trying to point them out in unity. And if you look at the first three verses, 1 through 3, which we've already read, it says, we confess the same Lord. And when we look at that, he says, you know, I don't want you to be, you know, to have you be ignorant about these spiritual gifts. And he's trying to tell them that these gifts were given for a purpose. He said, you know, you guys, when you were Gentiles, you worshiped these dead and dumb idols. They didn't do anything, but you believed that they would. So, you know, you're ignorant about things. And they were bringing them back in going, well, you know, we can do this. But he was really stressing that you've got people in that church that probably aren't saved. Hello. You know, the wheat and the tares. But there are people in there that want to look like they belong to that church, or they want to belong to that organization. So they're going to emulate some of this stuff. We saw that happen back in the book of Acts when Peter was going through. We had people that had natural talents, and they were trying to say that they were using them, you know, to glorify God. But yet you've got people here. It says, wherefore I give to you to understand that no man speaketh by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed. There were people that were actually cursing the Lord. We have people today that are doing that and trying to say, well, you know, God gave me this, you know, ability to be able to do that. What was happening to the other day where Charlie was working? Guy come in claiming that he was God, and then he was like, cast these people out. And, but you know, yeah, he was going to take them out of this world. And, you know, of course, Charlie wasn't in the room. He was just hearing it. And these poor, the workers that are with him, his boss included, they're all kind of standing there dumbfounded. But here's what's really interesting. Charlie walks out. This guy stops. And he doesn't say another word. Now, we know the scripture tells us that demons can tell Christians apart. You know, the little cross on Charlie's forehead must have been beaming like a out there. You know, I don't think he came out, you know, looking for a fight or anything, but that person was stopped. That's what happens. That's a gift in and of itself. And when you think about it, is that if we're living according to how the Lord wants us to do, we're walking as we should, we're prayed up, we're studied up, we know that we're right with the Lord, Satan's demons are not going to want to hang around, because Satan knows that he's not as powerful as God. One of those little gifts. He didn't come out going, hey, yo, yeah, you're one of those kind of guys. Of course, he got teased a little bit about it afterward, but it's an opportunity. They saw something happen, and it kind of resonates with people when a little thing like that, what did it do? It was a testimony for him. And that's what wasn't happening here. This is, and that no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Spirit, by the Holy Ghost. When we go out and we knock on doors, we witness, we teach a class, maybe give a devotion, maybe we're just befriending somebody because they're having problems or whatever, we can thank the Lord properly because we know where that ability came from. It's the ones that are out there that learn the jargon, and you can tell them right off the bat because they're not consistent. That's the one thing about it. Satan's little demons out there, they're not consistent. Well, they're consistently bad, but they will try to make others that don't know the Lord, well, that sounds pretty good. And that's what was happening here. And they were trying to point out that there were some unconverted idolaters in that church that were sneaking in, that were giving a bad name. And they were trying to bring, well, you know, it worked over there, so I'm going to see if it works here. And Galatians 5:23, one of them in there is temperance or self-control. And a Christian that knows the gifts that he has, knows how to use them, exercises that self-control. Doesn't walk around up and down the street going, you know, like the guy that came into Charlie's place, I'm God, I'm an heir of God, I'm, you know, just really flaunting this thing. Christians don't flaunt that. You know, pastor is great when he gets up there. He's able to present a lesson, but I don't think he walks up there going, you guys are going to learn this because I know it better than you do, and you're going to learn it my way. You know? Well, that'd be kind of arrogant. You wouldn't do that, would you, pastor? Hope not. Yeah, exactly. But, you know, there are preachers out there that's their attitude when they get up here. They get this attitude that I've been studying all week long. They're going to hear it my way. And when they look around and, you know, see the people falling off or looking at their watch going, he might get a little humiliated and realize, you know, maybe I hadn't been, ought to be using it that way. I think it was described to me one time, a young man went up to preach a sermon, Bible under, you know, notes and everything, well, stop. Well, when he got down, he was kind of like this, and the little lady pulled his coattail and says, preacher, if you'd gone up the way you came down, you'd have gone down the way you went up. But that's what the Lord does. We can be thankful for what God has given us to be able to do. He does use our natural talents, and he amplifies them. But Jesus is truly Lord in our lives, and there's a unity in the church when we see that. And like in John 14, Christ said that they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they may also be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. So when people come into a church and they see unity, they don't see a bunch of bickering and, you know, because that's obvious in a lot of churches. You know, this group goes over here, this group goes over there. And even when you see them come into the main worship together, you can see, certain people sitting in certain places, acting certain ways. You know, definitely different, and an air of disunity can show up. But in a church that has unity, it'll be evident. People tend to want to listen to what's going on. They welcome people that come in and visit. They're excited when somebody comes through the door and they want to find out about them and see what they're doing. So as a result, they depend on the same God. Verses 4 through 6 talks about that. It says, now, there are diversities of the gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. There are diversities of operations, but it is the same God that worketh all in all. And notice three verses, the triune God lays out the same Spirit, the same Lord, and the same God. Yet they're all one. And Philippians 2:13 says, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. When he gives us those gifts, it's for God's pleasure. And as he's watching, it benefits others. You can't stress that enough. Every gift that's given, the source comes from God. And some of us, you know, well, what's the gift God has? You know, there's certain tests you can go through in the Bible and look and say, you know, what's God want me to do? I was reading somewhere where this guy in one church, you know, he tried teaching Sunday school. He was miserable at it. You know, he went through all these little, you know, they finally found out that the guy was really good at maintaining the lawn for the church. That was his best thing. He knew how to do that. He could teach. You know, I can only think back when I try teaching, and I still struggle with it, is, you know, fortunately I was trained in the Navy to teach, so I guess I rely on that sometimes. But sometimes you look and see what people's talents are. You know, I think of Sylvia. One of her talents is she is just a giving person. And she's kind of taken on herself. She sends cards out, a correspondence. I think of Anna up here playing the piano. You know, she came to us. She just kind of dropped down into town, take care of her grandmother. Next thing you know, she's up here. She's, when she's able to be here, she runs the music program here. And Charlie, he picked right up when Matt left teaching song. Now, does it scare him to death to get up here? Oh, yeah. You better believe it. I can just imagine Anna up here. Fortunately, she can hide behind the piano a little bit. She can kind of duck a little lower when she, you know. But, you know, each of those gifts, you know, I think of Lynn with hospitality, my wife, you know, taking care of the little ones, getting on the floor, chasing them around. You know, Lindsay back taking care of the website and just filling in where needed. You know, and even Valerie who comes down to visit, you know, she bright smiling face. We're going to have to get her to share her song that she wrote here not too long ago. We'll embarrass her real about that. But, you know, there are talents that each and every one of us have here that we're using. Others, we find out that there's little talents in here. But they're all diverse. Not everybody can be like Pastor. Not everybody can be like Anna or any one of us. We have to be different. Just like, you know, we have to have feet and hands and eyes and nose, you know, all of our body parts, they're all different. And somebody made a joke about, you know, the, you know, different parts of the body. Wished I could be another. In fact, it's in here somewhere in Scripture. And if, you know, we all, you know, had eyes like flies, we'd probably see really, really, really well. See the hand coming from behind us. But, you know, we're not all eyes. We're not all ears. God gives us two of those so that we can do things with those. He only gave us one mouth, though. You know, ears to listen. Yeah, yeah. Can you imagine two mouths? You know, some people do talk out of both sides of their mouth. Figure that one out yet? Politicians. That's how they are. But you know, it's amazing though when God lays things out. There's diversities of gifts, but they all come through there. Every one of those gifts is designed for unity. You think of some big churches that are running really, really well. You take a look. Everybody in that church has a part to play. Are there problems there? Oh, yeah, there's problems. You know, you can't have a good running piece of equipment unless there's some maintenance going on periodically. You know, and the Spirit's in there making sure the maintenance is doing right. The study, the prayer, you know, fellowshipping together. It's all unified. This is their differences of administration. There's differences how they come out, how those they're given that the how they're administered. You know, Lynn doesn't every Sunday have a potluck, although it'd be kind of good, but we get kind of tired of that after a while. You know, administering it properly. But she also takes care, you come into the church here, when she and Lori and Charlie and Ron work, the place is cleaned. You know, and they do that every week. And if you think about things, you know, every one of us comes in and there's a bit of issue that with some of us. Now, Lynn's got a bad back. But you know what's funny? So does Lori. You know, you kind of scratch your head going, those two people there. But you never know it. Each one of us has got a little bit of something going on with us that could probably affect how we do certain things. But when you're living for the Lord and doing those gifts for the Lord, those go away. They're just not there. And the Lord takes care of those issues. And the energy to use the gift. This is, but the manifestation of the Spirit is, I'm sorry, and there's diversities of the operations. It's the same God that worketh with all. The energy to be able to do that comes from the Lord. So when you look at those, each one of those, the source of it through the Spirit and how it's administered, you can look and see that the energy from that comes from the Godhead. Those three things. So you're like, wow, you know. Oh, he's really got three things going on here: Father, Son, the Holy Ghost. The body, soul, and spirit, and you know each of those three things going on within our lives. and how they're happened. And then when you think about this, what's the difference between a natural talent and a spiritual gift? Anybody want to jump at that one? And when you think about that, oftentimes natural talents do get used to become spiritual gifts. Lynn?
Well, a spiritual gift is only given to his own, to God's own, by God, to his glory.
Exactly. That's how it is. Now, does it mean that, you know, if you have a natural gift that it can't be used for God's glory? No. Because God capitalized on that. You know, you think the Apostle Paul, you know, when he was Saul, he was breathing fire down all the Christians. Well, when he got saved, God used that same energy and the same zeal that he had only to build Christianity. Well, you know, he learned that talent. And he said, that's all gone away. I've got this focus now. And when we get saved, God can use those talents in a lot of ways. So as we look at that's important to realize that just because you're capable of doing that doesn't mean that's your spiritual gift. It could be. You could hone it. Like the poor guy that tried teaching and he tried all these other things, and he found out he was just good at keeping the yard clean and taking care of. Some people have that. Some people have that ability to be able to do that. You know, I laugh at my wife. She can make any rough child adhere properly and do it in love and have fun. And then we look at the next 7 through 10. It says, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given the Spirit the word of wisdom, another the word of knowledge, by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing to the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another interpretation of tongues. And this is where a lot of people step in and start taking these gifts, and they say, well, you know, these are the gifts that are going to be in the church, and they're going to use them, you know, for their personal gain. You know, when you think of these, the gifts, and they're not listed as an exhaustive list, and as they're listed here, they're not listed in the importance of them. Because when we get into looking at these others, we'll start talking about how they're being applied. But wisdom, it's one, obviously endowed with wisdom, or to be able to help view things comprehensively, or to look at things. Like Pastor can take subjects and he can bring it right down to our level. It's like you put it right through the little grinder and it all came out nice sausage when we're all done, you know. But some people have that ability to be able to take, you know, complex things and to bring them down. Knowledge is the same way. You know, a clear view, there's some people that are just better at presenting the plan of salvation than maybe somebody else. Doesn't mean that they don't have the same effect. It's just some people are clearer in the way in which they present things. And that's what knowledge is all about. And then faith. You know, we all have faith, but some people, it's distinguished as another shall be distinguished for the simple confidence in God. Some people, when you talk with them, they just have that childlike faith in everything that they do. Every one of us has exercised faith by asking Christ to save us. And we exercise faith as we go through, but some just are better at it than others. And it's just like, wow, how are they able to do that? That's a gift. And then healing, laying on of hands. Now, some people, you know, when you think about that, you know, the way it's mentioned here is the miracles of raising from the dead, healing somebody from sick. I think of Sylvia again. She's a massage therapist, you know. And some of those aches and pains just can go away through that. Maybe it's somebody that just has, you know, healing in that they can sit and listen to somebody and hear what they're saying and empathize with them. You know, that's a type of healing when you really think about those. You know, the apostles, I mean, they were given some really phenomenal ability for healing. You know, the shadow of Peter passing by, people got healed. People were being healed because of Paul's handkerchief. And they were healing on Solomon's porch, things like that. And then miracles, this is the one where, you know, we're seeing an actual divine intervention of things going on, where things happen, and they happened in the New Testament to authenticate the message of the cross, to get the gospel across. Because when you look at, years ago, I was doing a study, and it was noted that every time Jesus was doing a miracle, there were a bunch of Jews there. He was verifying what his ministry was to them to understand that he was the Messiah. Even though they missed the point, the whole of the miracles was to point to the cross, to show the gospel. And we're going to talk a little bit further about how long these were. There's prophecy for telling the future. Some people prophesy up here in reading the word and expounding on what the prophecies are in the Bible to give a clear thought of it. But here they're talking about things that the divine truths before they were revealed in the New Testament. The Apostle Paul was pointing out a lot of things that were going to happen in the future that hadn't been written down yet. John was doing the same thing when he was writing Revelation. Hadn't happened yet. Discerning of spirits. The supernatural ability to distinguish whether a pronouncement or a teaching is of God. And somebody that is in their Bible praying properly, they can tell when somebody's lying. They can tell when an untruth is coming through. Tongues. This is a big one for people. The ability to speak in a foreign language without having learned it. That's exactly what it is. Not what some of these folks are doing nowadays. And then the interpretation of tongues. We can get right down to it. We speak in tongues here. We have Lisa, who presents in sign language. But yet, she's learned that. There's a lot of us here that can understand some of that. She's the interpreter of that. Where the deaf sitting in here, that's the only way that they can hear. And the interpretation of that. So he's laid out some of these, and in fact, in verse 28, he lays out kind of an order, and as we get down there, we'll see that. But these are the ones presented that the Apostle Paul was addressing. They were probably the ones having the most issue going on in the church of Corinth. And by no means is it an exhaustive list, because there's many others out there. And they're lumped together, and you know, some of them might be subsets of others. But he's addressing them in such a way that people were not using them in such a way that, as verse 11 says, but all these worketh that one, the selfsame Spirit, divideth to every man severally as he will. In other words, as they came in to be used, but not for selfish reasons. Let's pray. Father, again, we are so thankful.